Live from NBA Summer League, it's Cofield and Company.
His three-pointer, bang!
On ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We're going to round up Albert Hall from the NBA Summer League here in just a couple minutes. John Von Tobel along in a bit. It's Cofield live, NBA Summer League. We got four tickets coming up, good for the rest of the way any day. That'll be before 4:30. I'm going to call an audible here. Not in traditional fashion. I'm just going to do it. Give me the big four sounder. I should have lengthened it out and called the audible. Would have given Griffin a little bit of time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
We try, man. We try. We got some gaps on the show, right? Number one gap is me hosting it. Yesterday, this is another one of those cases. I didn't deliver on something I said I was going to deliver on. And I've told people, I've told the audience, I've told the co-host here, the company, that there are times I go home and at like, the show's done at 6, at 8:25, I'll just yell out, ah, damn it! And my SO, significant other, will be like, what? You know what? 5:47 today, I went to break, forgot to do this story. She's like, what are you talking about? So yesterday I had mentioned going to our final block that I was going to talk about a team. I think I mentioned the Chiefs that I think is going to take a step back this year. And I just keep seeing more and more evidence to back my suggestion. Now the Chiefs, when Andy Reid first joined the organization, you could not play an under for the win total. He went over every single year. Now recently he's won 1-1. Now, there's Super Bowls in there, and that doesn't mean, you know, because you went under the season, regular season win total, that wasn't a successful season, but you did undershoot the books and prognosticators' expectations of the win total. This year, it's 11.5. And sometimes our job in Sports Talk Radio is to overreact, or we do overreact in the moment. We should know better, but, you know, you get fired up. You're a sports fan. Chiefs are 11.5. I don't think they're going to win 12. I feel safe in saying they're going to win 10 or 11. I'm not comfy saying this, but I think the Broncos might be slightly better. Raiders about the same. I think the Chargers are an absolute wild card in terms of upside. Man, I like Staley, but they did piss away a lot of games. And especially some of the matchups against the Chiefs. So I think there's going to be some real threats in the division. And obviously there's always threats when you're one of the top teams on your regular season schedule. Think about what the offseason has had for the Chiefs. The Harrison Butker silly speech. Now, will that be a big distraction during the season? Probably not, but at least Chiefs PR and some of the players will have to deal with city to city for a little bit, people asking Butker, and clearly Butker won't let it go, that you won't put it behind him. Now, camp just started, but did Harrison Butker need to respond to Serena and Venus Williams when they were like, oh, enjoy women's sports, except you, Harrison Butker? Bro, just let it go, okay? But as someone suggested on the show the other day, actually Justin Watkins, no, Butker doesn't want to let it go. This is what he wants. He wants the fight. So if you want social media fights and you want attention as some sort of influencer, to me that does call into question your focus as a kicker. We'll see what happens with the punter. I don't think he'll get in trouble, but he's gotten in trouble in the past. We know Rashee Rice has been a mess driving, so hopefully he's they've already had enough driving incidents there, right? A horrendous one with Britt Reed. Hopefully Rice has a driver this year. Freaking take the ear off from behind the wheel, okay, bro? I'm curious on the field. They've added receivers, but really cool. And I watched it again in that Giants Hard Knocks offseason. Really cool. Xavier Worthy running like a 3.85 in the 40. He ran it officially. It was a 4.21. And then we came on the air and we're all like, how do the Bills trade with the Chiefs to let him get into that spot and get the fastest receiver in the draft? Well, he went 28th. There's a reason. Everyone knows he was going to run some crazy speed. He's a small guy. He's got to work on his hands. So that could be a weapon that doesn't deliver. And then motivationally, I think people can say they have the same motivation they had years ago. But just because you say it, you know deep down if you're doing some things differently. Like, there's no doubt Kelce and Mahomes want to win, but are they doing everything they could and can in the offseason? Now, we hear Travis Kelce's not really a workout warrior in the offseason. He's also looking at the end of his career. He's now in a relationship, and I know there's some people in the audience who hate relationship talk when it comes to athletes. I don't, because I think it's relevant. Does your relationship, male or female out there listening, is it ever affected? Is your workplace focus ever affected by your relationship? Yes. Yes, it happens. Travis Kelce's spending a lot of time on the road with Taylor Swift. Now, maybe she's awesome to the point where it's like, hey, when football time comes, it's football time. So I wonder about his focus this year. And then the other one, and again, I guess is the notion if you're chubby, you can't judge others for being out of shape, or if you're chubby, you're an expert on being out of shape, right? If I could say it, out of shape. I'm telling you, Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not doing the dad bod thing, but man, he does look softer than he's been in the past. And with quarterbacks, you don't have to be like Will Levis, who's a bodybuilder, but I just wonder. And then this one, if I were like freaking out Chiefs fan, which I don't think any Chiefs fans freak out, this one I thought was interesting. Yesterday, Mahomes said this is going to be the first year at fall camp that he's brought a TV. Whoa. How about the playbook? How about the focus, Pat? He said he brought it for the college football video game and the Olympics. I'm not suggesting he's going to fall apart, staying up late nights, watching the Olympics in France, not getting enough sleep, not taking care of the diet, getting mushier. The college football video game? Now, he's not going to get whacked on this because he's not Kyler Murray. He's got equity. He's won Super Bowls. He's great. He's the best guy in the game. But it is interesting. He's looking for some extra entertainment. And by the way, another kid is on the way. How many kids are you going to have during your career? Come on, Brittany. Slow it down. Let's go, Pat. Focus. Third one's on the way. And the media did get him on the record saying, that's it. He said three is enough. Now, down the road, could that be angst? By the way, three is more than enough, even if you've got an army of nannies. Enough. Enough with the kids, please. Next up, I'm going to jump right to number one.
Number one.
There it is, as we call audibles, right? Omaha. Blue Cadillac. Cadillac's always in my audible, just so you know. And then some food item. Cream puff. Okay. We're going to get to Angel Reese in a matter of minutes. The Aces in a matter of minutes. There's massive news on the horizon with the WNBA. And it was folded in with more Adam Silver talk about the NBA and its expansion plans. So what have we heard around Vegas? For years now. We're getting a team. We've got multiple groups lining up to court this team with at least the building to play in. Will they be in the ownership group? Don't know. You know, will it be a Foley-type situation? You're building the arena and you're going to own the hockey team? We don't know. But we've now got some whispers, again, about the Rio site. That Oak Group was already planning on building down by the Bright Line at LV Boulevard and Blue Diamond. Now we've got someone moving around dirt at the Wet n' Wild site. And with the TV deal just about done, and if you haven't heard the numbers for the NBA, and I always have to say it for you people out there who are like, it's dying. It's not dying. It's dying for you, but it's not dying for others. we all assume, especially as we get older, if I don't like it, no one likes it anymore. No, you just get replaced. Listen, I don't watch golf and tennis anymore like I used to, and I really did, especially tennis. People have replaced me. And golf, I think mostly people who are my age have replaced me. As I've grown older, I don't really love watching golf. But I don't sit here and go, it sucks. It's dying. No one's watching, because I know people are watching. Betting helped it. So there's been this weird attitude with the NBA. I don't like it. I don't like the players, so the sport's going to die because I don't like it. Now you're just being replaced. If you come out here to the NBA Summer League, you look in the crowd, folks, you are an afterthought. There are so many freaking kids out here. There are so many 12 and ups, you know, through their 30s. The sport's exploding, and it's international. So now you have an even bigger audience than you had before. So, yeah, 11 years, $76 billion. Silver said the entire time that expansion will be addressed after the next round of TV deals is done. He said nothing's official right now. He mentioned Seattle. I'll venture a guess. I'll make a statement. And Von Tobel's in here with us. That I actually think Seattle is priority number one for the NBA over Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
it is guaranteed. I think we're 99% in. But there are intriguing places like Mexico City with a population of 22 million. So I think we're getting it. But it was interesting. Silver, you know, still like, pump the brakes. Get the TV stuff done first.
Yeah, I think you're right, because Seattle has the history. People want the Sonics back. That's going to happen. I think that's as close to 100% as you can get, maybe even 100%. I would agree with Vegas being 2 and at 99.7%. But I do think people underestimate how attractive Mexico City is as a market. They have a G League team out there. They've got a heavy population. By all accounts, they do like basketball out there and support the team. It would seem that logistics is the primary thing holding it back in terms of making it happen, travel to Mexico consistently, all those things. But I think it's in that order. But I do think people would be surprised how bullish the NBA is behind closed doors on Mexico City.
11 years, $76 billion. You're one of those young punks that I just talked about a minute ago, that when old heads like me and older are like, the league's dying. Yep. You know, a few years back, go woke, get broke. 11 years, $76 billion.
Say it again.
Sear it into your brain. 11 years, $76 billion with 4 national TV carriers.
So I will say, I do commend the side that goes with the go woke, get broke thing. Because you want to know what I saw the second that deal was announced? Think of how much more they could have had.
Like, you idiots. This was never going to, it's never an issue.
The NBA is very popular. It's obviously popular with young people. The way they take it in is a little bit different than traditional cable, but it is a massive draw for a lot in different metrics, and I don't think there was any question that they were going to get a lot of money. And that's why, too, as you mentioned, there's a reason why expansion's on the table, and all these deals that these guys are getting. Within my lifetime, no question, we're going to see the $100 million per year player.
Give away some Summer League tickets right now. Good for any day. 4 tickets, 364-1100. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7. Event goes through the 22nd here at the Thomas & Max and Cox Pavilion. UNLVtickets.com, 364-1100.
Reese. And a swat. Fourth block of the game for Asia Wilson. Carter trying to get open inside. Mabry instead. High up the backboard. Good. Chicago trying to quiet down this crowd.
Live from NBA Summer League, it's Cofield and Company.
Mabry on the drive, extra effort by Reese, the O boards, and the second chance points.
Wow, that was a good one last night. Didn't go well for the Aces, they wound up losing. I like that, Liz Fair. That was the theme song for the WNBA ad campaign. Man, I'm getting old. In 2004.
Really?
Yeah, 2004.
Sounded old.
It did sound a little bit old. Angel Reese leads the Sky to a victory.
Angel Reese has been very popular the last couple of days.
She has blown up today on social media. I think it's an angle thing, although I think it is true. It's a true image.
Yeah. No, it's true.
What's blown up?
I slowed down the video. There's video of her. So she's here with, and I always forget Jaylen Brown's girlfriend's name or wife, but his significant other.
Kyzri.
Kyzri, right? Okay.
Who's actually a Gondo. Grant's daughter, Gondrzek.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But she's here. Apparently they're friends. They seem very close.
The Gondo I'm referencing played for UNLV.
But regardless, the video is of her walking from the floor of the Thomas & Mack Center out somewhere, probably, you know, out to the bowels of the Thomas & Mack. And it is a still frame of a video of her walking in which her quad and right glute are very much engaged.
What a way to say it! What a way to say it. Yeah, she's a long-leggy lady.
Yeah. You know what's funny
with a derriere.
Right. So, like, I will say, she's obviously an attractive woman, and there's, like, this, like, fervor about, like, wow, look at this video. I was like, yes, shocking. The professional athlete has a good-looking body and is attractive.
Is in shape and has strong legs.
Yeah, like, this is a shock. I'm thoroughly shocked about this. I was amazed by how much fervor there was. Like, didn't we know this already?
Those comparisons will come back.
Yeah.
That'll be weaponized, anti-Caitlin somehow.
I mean, she doesn't have a leg to stand on there.
No, she's more of a slender lady.
Yeah. Nice tone arms, though. Good delts.
Yes. Got the big shoulders, right? Shocking. Shocking when you play basketball that your arms might be a little bit cut up as a woman or a man.
Right. Or that your lower half would be tone and firm.
Let's stop, please. TV call there of the game last night.
Same with Patrick Mahomes.
The Aces, it's funny. I had lots to say about the derriere and the moves on Patrick Mahomes. So, you want to roll with that? Do we make this bet on the air? Under 11.5 because I listed all the things.
For Mahomes? The Chiefs?
Chiefs, yeah.
I mean, I'm on that side, though, too, so I don't know if it would do anything for the show.
Would you actually take 10.5? I haven't seen the alt-line number on under 10.5. That's got to be a good plus. We'll look it up. Circa has a number. But, yeah, I listed all the things with Mahomes between Butker and the punt god and Rashee Rice and Worthy and Kelsey. And, you know, Mahomes going to be a dad again. He's getting a little soft.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, but there's no shot that he actually takes care of his own kid. It's got to be a Kanye-Kim situation.
I don't think it's that bad.
Where, for those who don't know, like they had explicit instructions to their nannies or whoever, whatever the term is that this child does not wake us up. At
ever,
night.
Ever.
Does not.
Don't interrupt
If
us.
We wake up in the middle of the night to take care of our own child, you will be fired.
You're fired. So in the game, Aces had a really tough time on the boards, which I think is one of those things that has not been pointed out a lot. I don't expect the Aces to have, like, five All-Stars, five people who are going to make Team USA in the Olympics, but they could use a little more help at the four in terms of rebounding. So they got beat up on the boards. They got beat up late in the game. You heard Angel Reese with a tip back. To make it 88-81. And they've had stints where they kind of look tired and less than focused on defense, and that happened again. So, solid. We'll call it the first half. Not like last year when they got out of the gates at like 23-2. They're 16-8. You know, Willie and I have a bet. Willie has, they'll go 28-12 or better.
Ooh.
28 wins gets it. For him, there's no tie. I bet under 28.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest reason, well, games like this, right? They've lost to the Sparks twice. Once. Twice? Whatever. They've lost to the Sparks.
Yes.
Lost to the Sky. And, you know, it's interesting. I kept saying four players are leaving for the Olympics. Four for Team USA. But Tiffany Hayes and Gustafson, they're going. They got six players going to the Olympics, so they'll be playing off and on while everyone else is resting. Now, they still have the All-Star game coming up, so there's a little more basketball action on, Saturday, the 20th? Is that right? Right there? I don't think that's going to help them. I don't think this is brain, you know, some hardcore science of basketball. So I went under. They have looked better of late, but last night was not a great loss. They were, 13.5-point favorites?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think to your point, the thing that sticks out is, again, last night, you know, they're ninth now in overall rebounding rate. So just 49.6% of all rebounds they grab. That's a really low rate. You need to at least be over 50%. And that's just to be, like, below average. So to be ninth in this league in that category is huge. And then when you talk about a team with the rebounding prowess of the Sky, with the rebounder, with the prowess of Angel Reese, like, that's going to be a little bit of a problem for you. I'm very thrilled about this. Let's get a little challenge in here, huh? This team has been great for a long time. Let's make them sweat. Let's make them remember what the grind is like.
The stupid narrative that it's too easy and they're bored, stop.
No, it's a flawed team. I mean, you can be a good team but a flawed team.
I mean, De'Erica Hamby's on L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that could have been different. But she didn't fit the culture.
Correct. You could probably.
Now she's averaging 19 and 11. She wouldn't do that on the Aces, but boy, oh boy, would it be nice to have a four who's someone who could average 19 and 11 when you need it.
11 rebounds a game would fit nicely for a team that's ninth in rebounding this year. Out of 12 teams? Not good.
702-364-1100. That's our Finley Kia text line. We will get a text every once in a while, especially when Willie's on, and it's nothing towards Willie. When Willie's on as a company, we talk WNBA. He covers WNBA. I like WNBA, and I like the storylines. I love the Reese, Caitlin Clark storyline, and I like a lot of the other storylines. But we'll get a text every once in a while. All right. Enough of the WNBA. And there are a lot of WNBA haters, and it's males of all ages, right? It's not just the old crusty guys who hate the NBA and say it's dying. Well, with the numbers out for the NBA, $76 billion over 11 years for TV networks, there are reports today that there's an 11-year deal for the WNBA for $2.2 billion.
Pretty good. Triples their current media revenue.
I think even more than that. I think it's you're talking about $200 million a year. I think they were at, and you're right, I don't have all the media. I saw TV was $43 million a year.
Yeah.
So
front office sports said it tripled it. So maybe they're rounding down, whatever it is, but still. If you're three times or better than what you're getting, because that's always been the biggest argument against the WNBA for all these people. Any argument, we always have the same talking points, politics, sports, whatever. And the same talking point here has always been like, well, you know, they operate at a loss that's not good, right? They don't make any money. Well, here you go, $2.2 billion. Three times as much. This thing is growing. There have been all the signs in the world.
So $200 million. Anyone know how many games? I do, but I'll throw it out there. Anyone know how many games WNBA plays?
Oh, like in the regular season? 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's half an NBA season. Mm-hmm. So full NBA season, WNBA season, 80 games. Double it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wouldn't work out exact, but $400 million. I put out a post probably a month ago, there was a big Aces home game, and there was a game in the Western Conference Finals in the NHL. Pointed out that a local sports bar had the main TV sound on the hockey.
I remember this, yeah.
And I was like, shouldn't the Aces be on? Hometown team, big game. And I got, initially I got like 100%, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. No one cares. 40 games, $200 million in TV. They played 80, that's $400 million. ESPN's seven-year contract with the NHL began in the 21-22 season. The deal is worth $400 million annually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, the Stanley Cup final, I think the best game got just over four. But, like, a regular NHL game, like, that's getting outdrawn by these primetime WNBA games.
The playoffs and Stanley Cup were definitely ahead of WNBA games. They were ahead.
Yeah, regular season.
And here's the thing. I'm not ripping on hockey. You know who I'm ripping on?
Hockey fans.
No.
I am.
That's fine. If they want to be delusional, that's fine. No, I'm ripping on NHL leadership. Now TV rights have gotten, like, they didn't have really Amazon and Netflix, Apple, you know, these places that are stepping up as options. That, unfortunately for them, 3 years ago, those options didn't exist. Everything has changed in a couple of years, but the WNBA is on the come here. It's bringing in big money. I mean, the numbers are there. You can't really argue against it.
No, and the signs were there too. I mean, you saw the growing ratings. You saw more people watching. Everything was being reported, and basketball, like the sport of basketball itself, is an aesthetically pleasing sport. It is more fun to watch, and so if and when the league not only grows but gets better from a skill standpoint, this is going to grow a lot.
Adam Silver on a scale. Gary Bettman on a scale. That's one of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other one is Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese versus Connor McDavid.
There's no quadded up pictures of Connor McDavid out there.
I don't think that. Do you think Adam Silver, you think he walked in and he was like, look at this.
Yep.
Flips a picture
at
TV execs and Angel Reese. I mean, look at that.
No, he does the.
Look over here.
What was the SMU 30 for 30 where he walks in and he slaps a $100 bill on the whiteboard? That's what Adam Silver does. He takes the blown up screenshot of Angel Reese quadded up and just slaps it on the board. Like, look at this. We want billions.
But let's be ahead of the curve, as we always are, and then everyone else benefits because they really know how to do social media. But let's predict it right now. When this money really goes public and starts to hit IG and TikTok, watch the war ignite again over who is responsible for this next TV deal. Caitlin Clark, of course, and me, Angel Reese.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from NBA Summer League on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Was I being too nice during a break? Could we do that for him? I might not want to mention it. We might have a bunch of people come up and be like, hey, you know what? Oh, we had a young man who I think is working with the NBA. He was like, hey, can I come on, do a little promo? I'm like, eh, after the show, we can might be able to roll it in for you.
It's Edmond Gilder.
Okay.
What's his name?
Might be a good connect for you. You want to get into the NBA.
Class of 2020 undrafted, yeah.
We had a young man come up earlier with his family, and he wanted to take a picture at the set. And his parents were like, yeah, his mom was like, yeah, he wants to get into media. And I do the same thing every time because we had a really good experience with this at Final Four. So I was like, hey, what do you want to do? Want to do like TV? You want to do radio? He's like, TV. Yeah. I'm like, of course.
Every time.
It's a lot of talking. A lot of talking when you do this. But then his parents were asking, let's see. They have ties to North Texas. And I was like, I have a friend who went to North Texas who works in the media. And they started asking, hey, is that a good school to go to for media? I'm like, I have no idea. Based on my friend, nah, I didn't say that part. And then they asked me the best places to go.
Like for school?
College, yeah. Keep in mind, the kid was,
please don't
what do you think, Mateo? 10, 11?
Ugh. You say Northwestern.
Syracuse. I didn't mention that. That's a good one. I did mention Syracuse. I mentioned Missouri, which has a good journalism school.
What about UNLV?
Yeah. Yeah. They have good stuff going on here.
A lot of stars come out of UNLV
in
the media world.
They produced Adam Hill, yep. A former and only one-time sports writer of the year in Nevada.
Danny Smythe,
yeah. Yep. I mentioned Arizona State. Because Arizona State, and listen, it's a regional thing. Mm-hmm. The events that I go to, like this, like Super Bowl, like Final Four, Arizona State travels their students. Well, Super Bowl has been in Phoenix, too. But they travel their students. That kind of experience is, I don't know, why are we doing how to get into sports radio? I don't know.
Work hard, kids. Grind. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's not all of it. You have to have connections. So you go to a place that has a legacy. Helps you. But, yeah, Arizona State's very good. Cronkite's very good.
That's why I'm still toiling around here. I don't really have any connections.
And going back to you have very fine jobs. Going back to the question about, hey, what do you want to do, young media kid? Young lady? Radio, TV? Dude, it was like 98% TV. Or writer.
Writer's good.
Because every
– I write.
Every kid who walked up to our ESPN Las Vegas set of the Final Four – went right to Adam Hill.
Really?
I was like, yeah, radio. Zero interest.
How'd they know Adam was a writer? Did he have like one of those big hats that said press on it?
I think his name had had gotten passed on to someone with ASU, and they were like, hey, he's a Raiders beat writer. So that's a big deal.
I wanted to be a writer. That was my original goal. I wanted to be a Pro Football Hall of Fame writer. Whatever that is. Now I know Adam. I'm like, oh, God, no. They all seem so bitter.
I got to build on one more point.
And I'm hilarious.
From what we were talking about with NHL versus WNBA TV rights, WNBA is going to basically on a prorated number be matching the NHL $200 million a year versus $400 million a year for the NHL, but they play half the games.
Mm-hmm.
I am not bashing the NHL. I'm not even bashing hockey. Like I said, I think leadership, I think Gary Bettman has been substandard. Here's the other thing I'll ask you. Big. All right, just let's go to the finals. Stanley Cup final game, WNBA final game. If it's not the Aces, what are you watching? Because I'm watching hockey. And I love basketball.
Probably going WNBA, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. I got some hot futures that I got to sweat out here. So we talking some Minnesota Lynx, some Connecticut Sun. I'm definitely watching.
Right.
Got to get my eye on it. I think hockey's stupid in a good way.
I don't think it's stupid. I think it's a good sport. It's poorly marketed, and a lot of the players don't get it.
I mean it positively.
Coming up, Carmichael Dave, we're going to go out to Sacramento, talk some Kings, talk some A's on the ground in Sactown, and he'll react to that WNBA mega TV deal that's on the way.
Live from the Thomas and Mack Center, it's Cofield and Company.
You know, I've been wanting to talk about one of the big winners of the offseason. We think Sacramento Kings getting DeMar DeRozan. Lakers didn't have a shot. So, Sactown's always a place that has something going on. I think we're in competition eventually for the A's. And that's a place that, you know, is on the come when it comes to sports. They got a new arena. Carmichael Day has been doing radio there for 24 years. At Sactown Sports 1100, and I talked to Dave just a little while ago. This part of the conversation, we talked about Sacramento's feeling about the A's coming to town with good old John Fisher as the owner.
Allowing this guy who is the ultimate Nepo baby to just run one of those proud franchises in sports into the ground. Now they're going to share a minor league field that is going to be turf. Well, there's already five other places that have turf, Dave, in baseball. What are you whining about? Yeah, they all have roofs. There's no roof here, so you're going to see players perhaps spontaneously burst into flames, which I won't lie, could be entertaining, but not a good time for them or their families. It's just a disaster. I'm not convinced of anything, and I'll answer your question with a question. Las Vegas is the hottest sports town in America. You got football. You have the Aces. You have the Golden Knights. You got the Raiders, of course. And you're pretty much guaranteed a basketball expansion team. And baseball would happily expand there at some point. Why in God's name are you guys considering putting up 300 plus milli to bring the biggest ownership cancer in baseball to your city? I just don't get why this is happening.
Yeah, political favors and political buffoonery. Either people didn't really read into the deal, which they actually didn't. We had some people admit on the show, politicians, public servants, that they really didn't read the first SB1 with Allegiant Stadium very closely. But a lot, you know, this is like every other place. A lot of times it's, hey, you know, I scratch your back, you'll scratch mine down the road. There's donations. It's a bad deal, and we screamed and yelled at the time. Want baseball here, want a stadium, we want an expansion team, we want a fresh start, just like the Vegas Golden Knights. And we've seen over time, the A's are a mess, they're disorganized, they're very aloof and borderline arrogant with how they approach things, and they don't have the money. So the gap between the $380 and the rest of whatever the stadium's going to cost, $1.2, $1.5 billion, they don't have it. And there's actually a stadium authority meeting with the A's presenting some of the details. I don't know if you saw this one, but they want an agreement that they can move 10% of the games out of Vegas, which then blows up all of their numbers because they had a sellout for the next 20 years. So if you take out 8-9 games a year, they're not going to put those numbers together and be able to pay the money back. So it's a mess right now. We are always looking for either you guys or Salt Lake to step in, and you can have this sweetheart of a team. Fisher is going to sell part of the team, I think, to get this thing funded. Would Ranadive be interested, the Kings owner, in putting up $500 million? And then even with the backdrop of, hey, potentially it doesn't work in Vegas, and then Sacramento gets the team full-time and builds a Major League Baseball stadium, there's a lot in that question.
Yeah, there is. And I think you're on the right track, though. It would not surprise me. And by the way, I don't know this. This is me pulling it out of my rear. But wouldn't surprise me if part of the sweetening of the deal to get him in Sacramento was Vivek saying, hey, I'll help you when the time comes and become a minority owner of the team. The problem, well, one of the problems, Steve, is that, first off, John Fisher doesn't know what he's doing. You got to get into the history of this guy. He went to Phillips Exeter and he went to Princeton, and I'm sure he got in of his own volition. It had nothing to do with his billionaire family. Then he goes out and he starts a real estate company, which went belly up, and then becomes CEO or president or whatever at Gap. He inherits all his shares, which are down, I think, 83% from when he inherited them. Maybe it's his fault, maybe not. I don't know. His money, though, you know, people see, oh, Fisher's worth $3 billion. Well, he's got it. You got to understand how rich people work, man. Like, this guy is so leveraged right now because the bulk of his wealth is tied up in his ownership of the A's. The one thing he's done right, no doubt about it, he purchased the Earthquakes. I think it was a $20 million buy-in. That plus the stadium, Avaya Stadium or whatever it's called now, that's worth about $600 million. He bought the A's, I want to say, for $180. They're worth somewhere around 1.5. I think Forbes had them at 1.7 billion. So it's not like he's got it in his pocket. He would have to sell things to raise the money. Now, what I'm getting at is he's trying to raise money based on the valuation of the A's by selling ownership shares, but he's valuing the A's at $3 billion. I understand bumping them a little bit because they're going to Vegas. Fine. But he's doubling the price, and what's very important for people to understand is that the price, when you see a team's worth, let's say, $5 billion, that's what they could sell for. That's for control of the team. If you're just buying in as an investor, you're a glorified season ticket holder that basically is now a stockholder. You have no control. You have no say. The glamour is in getting controlling shares. That's not what he's selling. My point is he's valuing these shares around $3 billion. The team is worth at most, if we're being as nice as we can, after Vegas, $2 billion. And he's trying to sell for $3 when really non-controlling shares are probably at a valuation of $1 to $1.5 billion. So he's way off the mark. I don't know who the hell he's going to get to invest in this whole thing. You're right, $1.2 billion, they're about $900 million short. And they just pulled 10 games a year out of Vegas. So I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I don't know how this house of cards doesn't collapse. And by the way, I'll bet you the next time they go to present, they've been trying to present this thing to the council since Christ left Chicago, and we haven't seen anything. So I would not be surprised at all if it was just like a crayon drawing of a potential stadium.
Carmichael Dave, King of Sports Talk in Sacramento, is up with us. All right, let's talk a little Kings. The offseason, how big a victory was getting a big name like DeMar DeRozan?
You're not going to know the answer to this, and if you do, steak dinner on me. Do you know the last, before DeMar DeRozan, you know the biggest free agent the Kings ever signed since they got to Sacramento?
I don't.
He's their former GM, Vlade Divac, just to give you an idea. That's the biggest free agent in the history of the Sacramento Kings. And DeMar DeRozan coming in here, he had other options, is a big win for the culture of the city. And that came on the heels of Malik Monk signing a 4-year, $78 million deal, where he actually took less money to stay here than he could have gotten from Orlando or Philly or a lot of other interested partners. So from a culture standpoint, it's huge. And DeMar DeRozan, you know, in losing Harrison Barnes as part of the process, the numbers may not have been there, but he was a huge leader on this team, the ultimate professional. You're getting a guy in DeMar who is also the ultimate professional. Leadership goes through his bones. You're also adding in 24 points a game. That'll obviously drop a little bit with this offense. And a guy who can hit his free throws and is the king of the midi. Those are two weaknesses on this squad. Did their biggest need, Steve, was defense, arguably. They arguably got slightly worse or just at best lateral on defense. And they are way light right now on the front line. It's Sabonis and I don't know. And then they got a ton of guards. And a few swings. So it's not a complete deal, but the team got better. And your guys in Vegas just put out 45 and a half wins as the over-under on the futures. I think that's about right. And that would still put them around the 7-8 seed in the West. So they got better, but so did everybody else.
Carmichael Dave is with us. All right, how does DeRozan blend in? And how big a jump can Sacramento make from 46 wins a year ago?
Honestly, it's a great question because you have to see it in action. The defense is still going to be an issue, especially down low. Going against the big trees like in Minnesota, could present some really big problems, but it's going to improve their free throws at the end of games, which was a huge issue. It's going to improve their mid-range game because that's what he does. You're probably going with a starting lineup of Fox, Rosen, then maybe Keegan Murray at the three or four, Sabonis at the five, and then it's kind of a question as to who else you slide in there, whether it's Trey Lyles, whether you try to go Fox Monk, who wants to start. So you go Fox Monk, DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis, but now you got size issues and defense issues on the perimeter. As far as the jump goes, it's just going to have to be one of those things where you see a team that has stayed together for the most part. The core is together. And is able to grow off of that. They had some injury issues last year after being the luckiest team with injuries in the league the year before. So I think the ceiling for this team is probably a 4-5. And the floor for this team has kind of moved up to 7-8 is what my guess would be. As I said earlier, Vegas put their win total at 45.5. I think that's slightly low. This is a team that's won the second most games in the Western Conference over the last 2 years. I think they're probably a 48-49 win team, but again, you're talking somewhere between 4, 6, and 7 for these guys.
Sacktown Sports 1140. Carmichael Dave is up with Cofield and Company. Adam Silver, again, talking expansion. I think we're pretty close here once the TV deals are in to final official announcement that Vegas is getting a team. Can I tell you the bigger news today is the news that was put out by, I think, The Athletic about the WNBA. We've got the Aces here. I think they're becoming profitable. Obviously, they're a really good organization. The players want to make more money. I could not believe the numbers they're talking about with TV deals in the future with the WNBA.
You know, this is one of two of the most frustrating sports topics I've dealt with over the last year. It really is kind of a state of our society. Number one, and we get this more out here, is Brock Purdy. The Mr. Irrelevant, should be a Disney movie, sweet kid. All the success in the world, has done everything but win a Super Bowl, and half the media and fans are trying to discredit him as a system quarterback or whatever the hell that means. I'm not saying everybody should love the kid, but it's such a wonderful story, and I've never understood why people try to tear that down so much. I'm leading in the WNBA because I hate this whole Caitlin Clark thing. WNBA was great before her. She's given too much credit. Or Caitlin Clark, it's like you're picking sides like it's politics. Like everything's either Caitlin Clark or she has nothing to do with it. And I just don't know why we can't land in the middle. There's two things here. Number one, in the era of DVRs, and everybody listening right now knows what I'm talking about, including you. Dude, I don't watch commercials anymore. I'm either watching stuff on pay TV like Disney, Or if I'm watching any other thing, I'm fast forwarding. In sports, you don't fast forward, and unless you're my dad and it drives me crazy, you don't DVR sports unless you absolutely have to because of social media. So for advertisers, news and sports are really the only remaining golden geese. And that's why you're seeing a lot of these. Notice these contracts are all 10, 11 years. They're trying to give up a ton of money now, but to be able to secure these deals for the hottest property in visual medium. So the WNBA, if Caitlin Clark didn't exist, the signs were already there, especially with your Aces and Asia Wilson and the whole gamut. The TV deal is going to come up. Some numbers say it's going to be 600% more than it was before. That's eventually going to get into salaries. And now all the people that say, oh, it's just a bunch of girls and they can't support themselves and it loses money. Well, not anymore. And now hopefully you're going to see these women getting paid more than, you know, a low-level guy at a brokerage makes out of college. And it's good news for everybody. I'm like you, man, especially working in radio where we need content on days like today where it is literally the slowest sports day of the year. The more content we have, the better we are.
Dave, you are awesome. Continued success in Sacramento. I appreciate the time.
Say hello to the and co for me, and please return the favor and slum it on my show here very soon.
There you go. Carmichael Dave, Sacktown Sports 1100. John Von Tobel, hi. From Dave.
Yeah, we got beef.
You do?
It's not real beef.
Was there beef in the past?
He got mad at me one time. It was during the infamous Chuck Pagano
fight. Oh, save that. Yeah. Let's do it on the other side. A lot of beefs to hit.